Welcome to another episode of the Westminster Confession of Funk on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. This is a podcast about storytelling, fatherhood, music, poetry, literature, the creative process, theology, and the perils of trying to live the good life. I am Jason Farley, author, teacher, pastor, and publisher at Jovial Press. Today I want to talk about praying through depression. We're going to look at Psalm 77 and learn, using poetry, the poetry of the Bible, and some Gerard Manley Hopkins, to think through what does it look like to identify where you are in a story through prayer. Where am I in the story that God is telling with my life? How do we give our story a new reading, a correct reading, scripturally speaking? Faith tells the same story about our life that God is telling with our life. And I want to look at Psalm 77 and think through what it is that that means. Psalm 77 is one of the Psalms of Asaph. He's the second most prolific writer of the Psalms after King David. And it's a psalm written when Asaph comes out of a particularly difficult time, a low point in his life. It's a psalm in which he's reporting on what it was like to go through the low time. He's made it through, and he's reporting the prayers that he prayed as he went through this time of deep spiritual depression. He is completely overwhelmed, taken in by the situations in his life, and overrun. And he was just not strong enough to handle them. He was not able to overcome or push through, and he's just stopped, crushed, drowned by his life. And this psalm is what came out of him on the other side, reporting how he went through it and what he learned. He begins just by reporting that God has already answered his prayers. So he's going to tell us about the prayers, but he first reports that God answered the prayers. He says, "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. He heard me." He's going to be describing his anguished prayers, but he starts by saying that his prayers have already been answered. All of the difficulties that he prays about, all of the pained prayer is heard by God, and God has answered his prayers. But that doesn't mean that the pain that he went through wasn't real. He describes the pain. He says, "In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My difficulties ran all throughout the night. They never ceased. My soul would not be comforted. I remembered God, and I was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed." Selah, he says. Stop and think about that. He was completely overwhelmed by the difficulties. He remembered God, and it actually troubled him to think about God because he was going through such a difficult time that when he looked at God, he didn't know how to put together the fact that God was on his side, and he knew that by faith, and yet he was going through something difficult when he was right in the middle of it. And he reports how he prays through this depression. He says, "In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord." He sought after the Lord, and the more he thought about it, the more difficult it became. He says, "You held my eyes open. You held my eyes awake. I was so troubled that I couldn't speak. I considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I remembered my song in the night. I communed with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search." Right? He couldn't sleep. He was so worried. He was so troubled. He couldn't speak. He couldn't express himself. He had thought about the way God had been with his people in the past. And then he looks at the way God has been in his own life, filled with sleepless nights, worry, fear, anxiety. And he says, there is a serious discrepancy right now. Right? I've seen the way you are with your people, God. I look in your word. I know what you are like. I look at my life, and there's a discrepancy. I don't see you in my life the way you have been with your people. He thinks, he prays through the ways of God in the past, the way of God in his own life, and they're not matching up. And so he lets us in on all of the questions that his soul, in the midst of his anguish, had and expressed. He lets us in on what was swirling around in his head, the loop that he has going on in his head. He tells us what the questions were. He says, "Will the Lord cast me off forever? Will there never be any more of his favor towards me? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Do his promises fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious to me? Is God angry with me? Has he shut up his tender mercies? Right? He says, I have all these questions. They swirl in my head. They're on a loop in my head. We've all been in this situation where we've got this loop of questions and we don't know how to get answers right at that moment. But Asaph tells us how to pray through this kind of depression. He sees all of his questions arising from the discrepancy of things that God has done for his people in the past and the way that God is dealing with him right now in the present. And he responds in faith. God has designed this time for me this way. He has designed other times for other people in the past for them. But God is true. Asaph said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate also on all your works and talk of your doings. He says, you have designed this particular thing for me right now. But I know what kind of God you are because I've seen the way you've dealt with your people in the past. Right, so he reminds himself, in the midst of all of his questions, who God is by looking at the way God has acted with his people in the past. God's actions reveal his character, and he says, I know who you are. When I remember, when I think through the way you've been in the past, and so I look at the pain and the difficulty that I'm going through right now and say, you have designed this for me, and I know who you are, and I won't forget. And his depression begins to lift as he remembers the way that God has done amazing things in the past with the people that he knows and with the people that he goes to church with right now, right? The people in the past, as well as the people that he goes to the church with right now. God has provided amazing ways, both in the past, and he's provided in amazing ways with other people in Asaph's church. He is a God who redeems. He can see it in other people, and he begins to believe again that God's plan towards him is redemptive as well. This is one of the reasons that it's so important that we go to church. We might think, well, I don't need anything today. I might not, you know, I'm not going to learn anything new. It's probably not true. But even if you don't, you might not learn anything new, but somebody might need you at church. So we got to get to church because somebody might be like Asaph is here, where his faith is weak and he needs to lean on our faith when we're strong. And in the same way, when our faith is weak and we're having a difficulty, Asaph, it reminds us that he goes to church and he leans on the faith of people that are in the midst of being redeemed. He hears their stories. He says, you have redeemed your people, you are redeeming your people, and when my knees are weak, people in my church, I lean on their faith, I listen to their stories, I'm reminded of who you are because I see the way you're acting in their life, and I know you are the same yesterday, today, forever, Lord, and so you're going to be a redeemer in my life. He is a God who redeems, and now that Asaph's faith has begun to lift a little bit, it catches the wind and mounts up on wings and really gains altitude and begins to soar. Verse 16 of Psalm 77, Asaph says, the waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee, and they were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Your arrows went abroad. The voice of your thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way is in the sea. Your path is in the great waters. Your footsteps are not known. You led thy people like a flock by the hand, by Moses and Aaron. He's being crushed under the weight of his depression, but he ends with a declaration of his trust that God has brought his people through impossible situations before. In fact, God's way is in the sea. His path is in the deep waters. He walks in the deep darkness where footsteps can't be seen. And so when he looks around and he says, I'm in the deep darkness. I'm in the deep darkness of my depression. I am in the deep waters. I'm in the sea. He says, but this is where God walks with his people. I've seen him do it by faith. When I look back at the way my people walked through the Red Sea, I've seen his people walk through wildernesses before, because I can see that my people walked with Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. So yes, I'm in the deep waters. Yes, it can be terrifying down here when I forget that God is with me, when I forget that God walks with his people through the dark, through the deep waters. The fact that he's going through a dark time, the fact that he is in the process of drowning in the dark waters, the fact that he is caught between the sea and an army is not evidence that he has been abandoned by God. Instead, he sees that this is the evidence that he's being brought to meet God right where he is. God walks the deep paths. God walks the impossible paths. So for God to draw Asaph onto one of those paths is actually God's invitation to meet with him more intimately, to know him more, to find God through suffering, is to find the presence of God. And that is what we're after. I mean, that's what we want. No matter what it takes to be with God is to know the power of the resurrection. Philippians 3, Paul says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, so that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, become like him in his death, that by any means possible I might attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Paul says this is what it is to think maturely in Christ, to see that everything is for our life. Even when we're drawn through the deep darkness, it's for resurrection. And we could lose everything. God could take it all away. And it's nothing compared to knowing Jesus. No matter the depth of death and suffering that we need to go through to find the power of the resurrection and to know Jesus Christ, it will all be worth it. None of it will compare to the glory that we are straining forward for. None of the suffering and difficulties will compare to the suffering that we face now. Asaph learned that in his spiritual depression. But he stopped, and he looked, and he cried out, and he was crushed under the weight of his doubts and his difficulties. And he looked around, and he said, Lord, the water is crashing in on every side. Have you abandoned me to this? Lord, I've seen the way you have been with your people in the past. They were never drowned by the sea of life. And then he realized that actually they did go through the paths of the sea. The road that he is on, even though it's through the deep darkness, is a road that God has drawn his people on over and over and over. Every time he has met them in the darkness, he has delivered them and redeemed them by means of the paths of darkness. I mean, even the greatest of all his acts of redemption was shaped this way. When he sent his son to redeem us, God did it by sending him to die. He suffered and died on the cross and was buried in a grave, because the greatest act of redemption would be the redemption of his son and the salvation of his people through that resurrection. By raising Jesus from the dead after he went through the deepest paths of deep darkness, He set the stage to redeem every one of our experiences in the deep darkness. Your salvation depends upon the fact that God brought his own Son out of the deep darkness. It depended upon the new life of the resurrection being able to undo the suffering that preceded it. So when we are praying through times of depression, times of deep darkness, times of sadness and grief, we don't have to say, I can't feel sad. I'm not allowed to feel sad as a Christian. I'm not allowed to go through grief, right? We dive right into the grief. We walk those paths of deep darkness because we know that God has walked those paths with his people in the past, and they've always led to resurrection. God has brought his people through pain and suffering, and it's always led to new life. We never, as Christians, want life. We never settle for life. We're always stretching for resurrection life. And the only way to get to that resurrection life is to go through the paths of deep darkness. And in Gerard Manley Hopkins' poems, he has a poem called New Readings, where he talks about the way that God takes things and he turns them inside out. He says, although the letter said on thistles that men look not grapes to gather, I read the story, rather, how soldiers, plaiting thorns around Christ's head, grapes grew and drops of wine were shed. Though when the sower sowed, the winged fowls took part, part fell in thorn and never turned to corn, part found no root upon the flinty road, Christ at all hazards fruit hath showed. From wastes of rock he brings food for 5,000. On the thorns he shed grains from his dropping head, and he would not have that legion of winged things bear him to heaven on easeful wings. God takes our sufferings, our difficulties, the fruitless times in our life, and he turns them inside out, and he turns them into meeting places between us and him. He turns our suffering, our darkness, our depression, the deep paths that we go through into means of fellowship, into means of knowing him more, and into means of us being transformed to become more like him. So remember, faith tells the same story about our life that God is telling with our life. Faith recognizes where we are in the story, and where we are in the poem, where we are in the character arc, and leans into God, even in the midst of difficulties and darkness and grief and pain, and prays right there in the midst of the depression, knowing by faith that God has not abandoned us, but will meet us even there. Thanks so much for joining me for another episode of the Westminster Confession of Funk. If you're looking for more of the funk, check out my blog hosted by the Fight Laugh Feast Network. You can find my books at Amazon.com. You can visit Jovial Press for more information. It's great to have you here. Keep it funky, people.